Bibles this morning, the book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. Leviticus, chapter number 6, and verse number 13. Leviticus, chapter number 6, and verse number 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. And we ask you to help us this morning as we look to your Word. Pray that you just speak to our hearts. Make us an able minister of the Word of God. And Father, touch this morning and work, I pray, in our midst. And just help us, I pray, each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we read this verse here, God was given unto Moses the law of the burnt offerings, and we look back and read a verse here in just a minute in the book of Exodus chapter 29. But here he says in this verse that the fire shall ever be burning. And what I want to preach to you about this morning is this question, is the fire burning? Is the fire burning? Now, the instruction from God back in Exodus chapter 29 and verse 38, he said there, "Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lamps of the first year, day by day, continually." And so this was something that was done day by day, continually, every day. Now, we want to notice a couple of things this morning. In verse 9 of Leviticus chapter 6 that we read, in verse number 9, it tells us there that the burning was to be all night until the morning. And then it also says, and the altar fire, that fire there upon the altar, was to be maintained continually. Maintained continually. And so, just a few things that I want us to look at this morning that we can gather from this fire, this continual burning of the fire upon the altar, and ask that question, is the fire still burning? The first thing that this speaks to us about is the perpetual atonement needed by man. Amen. We need, how often do we need, amen, the atonement from God? How often do we need to go to God and ask God to forgive us and to help us? Amen. This offering, this burnt offering was presented. It was there continually, day after day after day after day. Amen. This burnt offering was there because of our need. Amen. We continually need, amen, the forgiveness of God. We need that flow, amen, for to be able to go to God. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, in verses 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. What is it that we need? Amen. We need a place that we can go and to confess our sins, because if we confess our sins, He is, the Bible said, faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. This is not a license for God's people to say, well, God said you're going to sin, just go at it and He'll forgive. No, that's not what He's saying. Amen. God recognizes that we are but flesh. And amen. And we have a nature and a war that goes on within us. He told Peter, Jesus said of Peter that I must wash your feet. And of course, Peter, he said that you're not going to wash my feet. But Jesus knew something that Peter had to learn. There was, though Peter was saved, was a child of God, there still needed to be a cleansing. Amen. And so he said, as they walked through those streets, the feet would get dusty and dirty, symbolizing, listen, where are we at? We walk through this world and we have to cleanse ourselves daily. And so the fire on the altar is a sign to us of the perpetual atonement needed by mankind. Amen. The perpetual atonement that's needed by us. Now then, the second thing to notice here about this fire, the continual burning of this fire, is the continuous acceptance of worship by God. Amen. The continual acceptance of worship by God. In the continual burning, we see in that the compassion of God. We see God's love and God's mercy toward us in this continual burning. Amen. It's there. Amen. It continues to burn. The fire there on the altar continues to burn. Amen. And what does that mean for us? If we go and we confess our sins, God's ready to forgive. He's ready to show forgiveness. And so for those of us who are in need of forgiveness, it's good to know that God is willing, He's waiting, He's ready to forgive us of our sins. A work of the old devil is this. He tells men that they've sinned too much, that they've sinned too great, and that for that very reason, there's no need in them going to God for forgiveness And maybe he even tells them that, you know, if you're going to go that route, you need at least go do a few things beforehand. That's not what the Bible says. But the old devil tells us, amen, and how many people have I heard that have said these very things? You know, you just don't know what I've done. You don't know my life. You're right, but I know God, and I know that the fire on the altar is burning continually, so that God is showing us that He's willing and ready to hear and to forgive us of our sins. Psalm chapter 86 and verse 5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." This is God and what God's willing and ready to do. And here's what we find. We find that men are not nearly as ready to seek forgiveness as God is to give forgiveness. Amen. Men hold back. Amen. They won't take their guilt, their sins, and go and leave it and give it to God, though God is ready to forgive. And so we see here the continual acceptance of worship by God. And thank God that God's not like man. Because, you know what? I done give him one chance. And heaven forbid if he's had two. What if God only give us two chances? That's all you get. But the fire's still burning on God's side. Amen. The altar, amen, the fire representing that continual acceptance of worship by God, that we can come unto Him. And if we come and confess our sins, He's ready. You know what I did this morning? I got up and I got ready. I got ready. And I came to church. We spend a lifetime getting ready. We get ready to go to work. We get ready to go to church. We're getting ready to eat. But I'm going to tell you something. God's not getting ready. He's ready. Amen. He don't have to get ready, because there is a continual burning, amen, of God's side towards us. And God is ready this morning to forgive. Now I say, with this time change, boy, getting ready this morning for me was a little bit harder than, you know, I don't know about y'all. I could see a nap maybe in my future for this afternoon, trying to deal with this time change. But listen, God don't have to deal with things. Amen. Not in the sense that we do, because it does not catch God by surprise. God is, He's ready. And so the continual acceptance of worship by God is seen in this continual burning. But listen, the third thing is the uninterrupted relationship. And thank God for the uninterrupted relationship. To have a continual burning required the priest to be attentive and watchful about the things of the altar. We sang that song a while ago, "Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." What happens when I don't trust? What happens when I don't obey? When I walk contrary to the expressed will of God, amen, what happens in my life? Amen, we get farther and farther away from the things of God. Amen, and we cannot be happy. Our fire, amen, while there's no problem on God's side with God's fire and with God's readiness, but amen, on my side, things start getting cold. But we must trust and obey. We've seen our need for an atonement and a continual atonement. And thank God He has made provisions for that. That we can find forgiveness for sin. And we've seen how the continual burning reminds us of God's love and compassion for His love. The Bible tells us His love never fails. It never wanes. His love. But now we come to that altar and that fire that's burning on that altar, and it makes us think about ourselves, those priests, and the things that they had to do to keep the fire on the altar. They didn't just light the fire and it burned, and you know, that was all they ever had to do. There had to be some watchfulness, some attentiveness, and it speaks to our dedication and our consecration for God. How are we dedicated to God? How much do we love God? It speaks to our faithfulness. Always burning with that dedication to God that we should have. Always serving, never quitting, but being faithful to the things of God that we find in Scripture. Even some of God's prophets, we find one. Where did we find him? He found his juniper tree and he sat down. Amen. We find some other prophets of God running, going in the other direction, not trusting, not obeying. Amen. Going in the other direction. But God help us. How is our fire? Amen. Are we keeping a watch upon the fire of our life? Are we faithful to the things of God? The fervency. Not only does it speak of our faithfulness, but our fervency. Sometimes the priests, they had to add some wood, add some fuel to the fire. Keep it going. I mean, when you build a fire, you can build it, but you're going to have to come back. You got you a fire poker. Sometimes you just need to poke in there and stir it up a little bit. We'll read a verse about that in just a minute. To get those flames and to rearrange the wood, we have to add some wood. You know what? As Christians, what we need, what's God given us, amen, for wood, we need to read the Word of God. Pray and service, our good works, the things that we do. We add, amen, to this fire that's in our hearts and our lives. We are watchful to keep it burning and keep the things of God before our hearts and minds, that our fire might ever burn for God. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 6. Paul here is speaking to Timothy and he said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Paul here is reminding Timothy. He said, "I want to put you in remembrance that thou stir up." That word there that's translated "thou stir up," it speaks of kindling a fire. To stir up. Listen, it's not been too long ago. We had a fire here one night and had some eating and some fellowship. And we built that fire and it grew and it would burn down a little bit and the flames wouldn't be quite as much. And we'd throw some more logs on the fire. And it was pretty cool that evening. And we started out there. Everybody had their chairs around that fire. And you know what? What we spent the night doing besides talking and fellowship and eating, we spent the night, amen, and we'd pull our chairs up pretty close. And that fire, they'd throw some more logs on. Next thing you know, folks would be picking their chair up and backing up a little bit, amen, from the fire because, amen, it was hot. Amen, they might even back up a little bit further. But if we talked long enough and we neglected to put a log on the fire, next thing you know, folks would be coming back getting a little bit closer because the warmth and the fire, amen, was dying down. But as the evening progressed, amen, there'd be times you'd take that old poker and you'd stick in there and you'd stir it up. And amen, throw some more wood on the fire and logs on the fire. And I thought about the stirring up that Paul told Timothy, and I thought about the continual burning of the sacrifice. And see, here's the thing. I don't have to worry this morning about God's side of things. It reminds us, this continual burning reminds us that God's ready. God's ever ready. The fire, from the standpoint of God's side in the altar, God's ready to forgive. Amen. He's ready. He stands always ready. But the question this morning is, what about me? What about my fire? What about your fire? What about my faithfulness? God has always been faithful to me, but I have not always been faithful to God. my fires got dim. Amen. It grows and it goes down. But I want to tell you, have you ever noticed, if you've ever built a fire, been around fire, campfire, whatever, you can take that fire and the flame can be gone. I mean, the flames will be not just some coals. And you can take that thing, you can poke around in it, and you can start putting some more fuel, some more wood, some other things on the fire, and just let it set on the fire, and you can adjust it, and you can move it around. And in just a little bit, and it won't take too long, but you might notice that all of a sudden that thing's smoking a lot more than it was, you know. I mean, previously you couldn't see any smoke, but now you can see that, boy, the smoke is building. And it's getting more and more and more. There's an old saying that I've heard all my life. You know what it is? Where there's smoke, there's fire. And I've stoked some fires that you couldn't see any flame. But upon adding the fuel, and the smoke would begin to ascend more and more. And you know what would happen? It would not be very long. And all of a sudden, I've seen it happen two ways. If you just let that fire go and you let that smoke ascend, in a minute it's going to get hot enough that it's going to go to a blaze and the fire is going to be burning again. But also you can take that same fire, you can take it, and as it gets to a certain point, you know, sometimes you can take a match or something and you don't have to get down there and light it. You just take it and you just throw it in there. And it'll help it, that little spark, it'll help it to combust. You know what? Sometimes, amen, God uses different people. He uses preaching. He uses revival meetings, different things. Amen. Our fire and our flame gets low and it's not burning continually as it needs to be. And sometimes, amen, some wood gets added and we begin to smoke maybe. And left in time, we'll combust. But sometimes God just sends somebody by to throw just a spark upon us that we might burn. What about our fire for God? There's no question this morning that God loves us. He has demonstrated it in every possible way that He could. But what about me? What about my love for Him? What about the fire that is upon the altar? Have I neglected the fire? Have I just walked away and said, it'll be all right? You can't really get warm by that fire anymore. You know, if you reach down there and touch those ashes, there's some heat that's buried up in there. You can't really warm by it anymore. But God's still glowing toward us. The fire of God and the glow of God is still towards us this morning, and it's still burning. But what about my fire? He told Timothy, he said, I want you to stir up. I want you to stir up the gift of God that's in you. Stir it up. See, God has not just saved us, amen. He's given us the gift, first of all, of salvation. And what a blessed thing that is, amen, if we just stir up the gift of salvation. That once I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. In John chapter number 9, the blind man, what was his testimony? It was not a big, long theological answer, and they asked him questions that he couldn't answer. And God help us, the further we get down the road, that we can answer more and more questions. But amen, but what was it that stirred him up? What was it? What kind of fire burned within him? He said this. He said, whereas he said I was blind, he said, now, I see. Do you think he was happy about that? Amen. Do you think that stirred and kindled a fire within him. He said, I can't answer all of you questions, but he let them know. He said, I can tell you one thing. He said, I was blind. I lived in a world of darkness, and amen, I couldn't see. He said, but now, he said, I can tell who you are and who you are. And the sunrise, I'll get to see it in the morning. And amen, I'll get to see the trees and the wind blow. Amen, and the waves come in on the shore. I'll get to stand out under the starry sky. Why? Because Jesus passed by. Because I was blind, but now I see him. What happened, do you think? That, amen, boy, that stirred up a fire in him. Amen, the fire of salvation. But you know what happens with us and with our fire of salvation and with Christianity? Because it happens with just about everything that we have. If you think about the things that excite you, the things that you couldn't wait to get, but familiarity. You know what happens with familiarity? If we're not careful, it breeds a bit of indifference. We can't wait to get that new job. We can't wait to get that new vehicle, that new boat. We can't wait to take that trip and do all these things. But, amen, but after a while, familiarity. We get familiar with things, and for some reason, it just don't excite us the way that it used to. I think about this all the time, especially I thought about it yesterday when I went to pull out on the road yesterday headed north to Geneva. And I had to wait at my driveway for 40 cars to come streaming by. 40 cars. I just about guarantee you that of that 40, at least 30 of them, if not 38 of them, was headed to see the world's most beautiful beaches. They was headed down to see the water and the waves. But you know what? For all of us folks that live down here around all the water and the waves, I might have seen some of them headed north to see the mountains and the hills from where them folks just left. Because you know what? They see the hills all the time. The mountains, you know what we see? We see the Gulf of Mexico and the beauty and the gloriousness of it, and we see it, and we may enjoy it, but we can get used to it. It's just the Gulf. Listen, God made it. The grandeur of it all. But what happens? The same thing that happens in our own lives as Christians. We get to church. What happens to church? Well, it's just what we do on Sunday. It becomes familiar to us. But where's the fire? Does the fire burn on the altar? We know that God still loves us. But what about us loving God? God help us, because listen, the reality is, and I'll just put it like this. Because that we are flesh, we do absolutely nothing perfectly. I mean, there is imperfections as much as we try, but there is imperfections in everything that we do. Oh, but the fire can still burn hot and bright. God's love, God's fire, it still glows and it still offers warmth to us. But amen, does our fire burn and glow back towards God? Do others see? Are others in this world able to see and to warm themselves on the fire of our salvation, that it makes a difference not only to us but to those that are around us? Is the fire burning this morning? If you will stand with us, amen, as we sing, if you have need, I pray you come.